I don't know if it belongs to anybody else, but there's a big lot behind.
Oh, that's helpful.
It's probably for more than one business. I'm not sure. Anyway, I had a place to park.
Okay.
But there's a nice food place on the opposite corner. Wilcher Pantry. Oh, it's on the opposite corner. I don't know if they're open on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not terribly familiar. I mean, I'm familiar with the area, but not that particular section.
It's right across from where they're going to do all that, tear all that down, where the old Baptist Hospital used to be.
Yeah, I used to work. Used to work there. Okay.
A bunch of stuff. So it'll be.
We had our
active corner.
Before that, the Baptist Hospital closed down in that area. They had their alcohol and drug program there for a number of years. Yeah.
But it's right down from Paris Town.
Okay.
Cafe and all that right in that area.
Okay. All right, sports fans, fellow space travelers. We're back online. I'm not sure whether that influences anybody who's sitting at home. But for here, if you happen to be here in this space, the monitor behind me lets them see you. And that was not working for some reason last week. So we're back. Just to give you an update, it seems as if the final contract is going to be signed very soon, but we're still going to have use of the sanctuary and the chapel if we need it. What's going on is Highland Community Ministries, where we're going to be renting the sanctuary, there's no heat in the sanctuary at the moment. So we have to wait for them to get the heating system up before we make the move over there. So right now, nobody's going to get thrown out of any place. We're still probably going to be doing Zoom from the chapel here. And we're also going to be doing Zoom from our sanctuary. Excuse me, our sanctuary upstairs. So we'll let you know whatever further things develop. Hopefully, some of you will decide to get back in person. And you're more than welcome to do that. At the same time, we're not going to be cutting anybody off saying, well, you know, if you don't show up in person, you can't come at all. So we're going to be still Zooming and in person, even when we move. And that'll probably be lasting until as long as it needs to last. One of the convenient things about that is that I can Zoom this class from practically any place. So if I don't happen to be here in this chapel, or we don't happen to be in Louisville, I can even do the class from someplace else. So you're always welcome to that. But I would encourage you to take a look at whether or not you would be interested in coming back in person, because we'd love to have you there. And there is a different kind of energy from being physically present as being electronically present. I've kind of gotten used to feeling your presence on the electron waves, which is kind of a neat thing to be able to do, but there's always something that's, at least as long as we have bodies, it's kind of nice to have physical presence as well. So keep that in mind. We'll keep you apprised of how things are developing, okay? And as we do that, we can take a moment or so to get ourselves grounded and centered. It's wonderful to see you all logging in, because it's almost like seeing you walk through the door. And just get a sense of our connection with one another. If nothing else, get a sense of the purpose that we all have. To grow, to evolve, to heal. And then all of that is beyond our personal level. sure we want to do that for ourselves. We also want to do that for one another. We want to do that for the planet. We want to do that for the universe. Deep breath, stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. I know Paula, our California contingent, is not going to be here this morning. She had mentioned that she was traveling to one of her kids' places, and that she might not be available for the next week or so. So let's just remember that she's here. Anybody got any stuff that's left over? Causing problems, pebbles in your shoes, annoying little reminders of something that you can't quite get a hold of, or maybe a vehement objection about something. Always open to that. Okay. We're going to begin on page 109. And again, if you don't have a book, we'll read it out loud. For those of you who might be new, we're on page 109 on the Book of Mastery. And there are more of these books getting churned out every day. I think Paul mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he had just finished the dictation of the next book, which is called Innocence, which I really like. We'll let you know more about that as it comes into the forefront. So page 109, subject of the chapter heading is Union. And we will start with the top of the page. As you disengage from the vibration of fear, what you actually do is claim the kingdom. So they kind of go together. I disengage from fear, the kingdom becomes more accessible, more available to me. Because the kingdom all actually exists without fear. Fear does not exist in the kingdom, is another way of putting that. Do you each understand that the divine self you hold holds no fear? That's how you can tell whether you're in your divine consciousness or not. Okay. Ain't afraid of no ghosts. Ain't afraid of nothing. Fear does not exist. It's an atmosphere where it cannot exist. The Christ cannot be in consort with fear because it does not exist at that level of vibration. Is it possible to live here? Yes, it is. But you must decide for yourselves that you have the right and you are willing to let the self become liberated from the structures you have chosen that invite you to attend to the self as the one who is fearful. Say that again. It's a little bit convoluted. Is it possible to live here? Yeah, but you got to be willing to let go of all of the structures you've created that still cling to fear on some level. If you're clinging to fear or allowing fear to cling to you, whatever that, however you might look at that, it's kind of like the kingdom's going to be over there someplace. It's going to look nice. But the key to enter the situation, the key to enter the kingdom, which is at hand right now, at the present moment, through the eyes of a child, the way to get in there is without fear. You got fear, it's kind of like trying to go through the gate and the gate closes on you. Say, sorry, no fear can enter here. Now that might, you might think of that as being a huge challenge, but you got to be real gentle with yourself and say, you know, if I want to, I could discover fear any place. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at that. If I want to, I can find danger or fear or lack or scarcity. I can find that any place. So when we say being free of fear, you don't have to start examining yourself and ask, well, am I free of fear? Because I don't know about you, as soon as I ask that question, I'm going to find some. Okay? I don't want to make that too out of the ordinary. But as soon as I start looking for fear, I'm going to find some. So the way I might have to do this, and this is just me, I might have to say to myself, what would it be like if I were free from fear in this moment? And I can get that. Might not last for a terribly long time. But when I ask that question, what would it be like to be free from fear in this moment? I can get that in that moment. And that moment is the kingdom. It's just that for me, and again, I have to claim this myself, for me, it becomes so, I can very easily fall off the horse and get back to thinking about fear again. It, for me anyway, at least at this point in my life, it's still waiting in the wings. And if I start thinking about it or questioning about it or looking for it, it's going to be right there in my face. So I also have a choice, not only asking myself, what would it be like if I were free from fear in this moment? Let's keep it really simple again, is what would it be like if I was grateful for this at this moment? What would it be like if I recognized that I was unconditionally loved at this moment? What would it be like if I recognized that I was free in this? I mean, see, there's lots of ways we can do this. There are lots of ways that we can experience ourselves without fear and without getting sucked back into it again. So, you know, we might have to study some of those ourselves and might need to become aware of what works best. What works for you? What works for me when I find myself getting attached to some of my fears, some of my old fears? What do I do to be able to let go of them or release myself from them? What works for me? Gratitude works. Unconditional love works. Thinking about people I love works. Thinking about people who love me works. I mean, my bag of tricks can be huge. In fact, what I do sometimes is I have sort of a little emergency kit of how to change my thinking. I find myself thinking about scarcity, lack, or fear. Think about my grandson. Think about my granddaughter. I think about playing music. I think about a particular song. I think about being at Stonehenge. I mean, I think about being at the National Museum. I think about how grass smells when you just mow it on the first spring day. You can have a whole slew of things that you can always can go back to use as triggers for positive energy, for keys, what they call the keys to the kingdom. What are the keys to the kingdom? Yes.
I just can't, I'm afraid of pain. That's my fear. And it just amazes me how Jesus could go to the cross and have his hands nailed and then have his feet nailed and not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's to me is, I can't comprehend that. I would be so scared.
Me too. But I guess what he said was, I'm not my body. I am not my body.
Okay.
You can do anything you want to my body, but it doesn't do anything to me, the capital me. Right? Now, I totally agree with you. I understand that, Diane. We're not here to deny fear or deny woundedness, but to find ways of moving through that. So when I begin to recognize that I'm not my body, doesn't mean that if I drop a bowling ball on my foot, it's not going to hurt, right? Because it is. Or I can keep saying, well, your body's just an illusion. Right? Well, let's tell that to the toothache that I've got. So yeah, I think it's really important what you're saying, Diane, is that, you know, there are some things that really get in the way of this. And instead of focusing on what's getting in the way, let's say, well, I'm really afraid of pain. I'm really afraid of this. I'm really afraid of that. Stop doing that. What opens me to love? What opens me to care? What opens me to concern? What opens me up to freedom? Focus on the things that are the keys to the kingdom rather than the things that are not. And again, we're not pretending that stuff goes away. I'm not pretending that I'm not that pain is irrelevant, because it's not. But I'm saying I don't have to live there. See, that's where I learned how to live for most of my life. So did most of us. I don't have to live there. I don't have to stay there. Is it possible to live here? Yes. But you must decide for yourselves that you have the right to live here. That's number one. I have the right to be free of pain, let's say. I have the right to be free of fear. That you have the right. And you are willing to let the self become liberated. I am willing. I'm not going to do this by brute force. I am willing to let the self be liberated from the structures you have chosen that invite you to attend to the self as the one who is fearful. I am willing to go beyond those. I don't know how to do that yet. But I know my divine self does. But I am willing to go beyond that. That there's that word again. There's that energy again. Being willing. Opening myself up to a truth that goes far beyond my limited nature. I am willing to be free of fear. I am willing to be free of this. I am willing to be free of that. Willingness, willingness, willingness. Willingness opens the door. Being open to that possibility opens the door to that really happening, even though I don't know how it's happening. Am I willing to let go of this? Am I willing to see this differently?
Jerry?
Yes.
So I've had an experience of fear over the last week that was that I finally was able to get through. I've had RSV, but I also had a deadline at work, and I had been challenged. I had been told that my boss's boss was expecting me to meet this deadline. And so I was working from home.
No pressure, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so I was working from home with RSV, and I'm an asthmatic. And I was just struggling to meet the deadline and get through this. And I met the deadline, but I was in such fear and pain, and it was emotional and physical and just a challenge. And I finally got to this point where I had a little breather, and I have been saving this podcast on that had something to do with the course and in miracles. And I listened to it, and I heard some stuff that I thought was kind of relevant. And it talks about the ego being one of the definitions being the defense and maintenance of the story of me.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's it. I'm trying to. Defend. What I've been thinking about is defending this sense of me. Here, actually, my boss had given me permission to stop, but I had in mind this idea of, no, I'm the guy who finishes on time. I'm the guy who meets the goals, and I do that on time. And I had promised to get this deadline, to meet this deadline. I'm the guy who does this. And I have fear. At my age, I have fear that the next time the company goes through a cutting, you know, of jobs, I'm one of the guys that I might be on the chopping block. And I've got too many people who are relying on me. I support a couple of different families. And so I have some fear. Anyway, so I got through this. And they were comparing that, of course, to Holy Spirit and how we should let go and be in the now. Stop thinking about the future, stop thinking about the past, and focus on the now. And that allowed me to let go of the fear. And as I did that, my symptoms began to abate.
Wow.
My physical symptoms were, I still have some. Is once you get into an asthmatic attack over time, it's harder to let go of the symptoms. Yep. But my physical symptoms got better. My emotional symptoms got better. But that whole idea of I was trying to defend this idea of who I was as the guy who I'm the Iron Man. I'm the guy who gets things done. Mm. That was ridiculous. I had permission to stop. And I wouldn't take that permission and live with it.
Mm.
So why? Because I was afraid of what someone might think, that I was not as good as I should be. So
yeah.
Thought I'd share that.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
I think we can become so enamored and protective and identified with our story. Which, by the way, we have multiple stories we tell ourselves all the time. If you stop and just move away from your mind for a moment and listen to it, it's telling another story about you and about your attachment, about what's true, what's not true. And so what this is suggesting is, and what John is suggesting is, you know, you don't get rid of your story necessarily, but you can separate yourself from it. You can say, that's a story I'm telling myself. Is it the truth? Maybe in a partial sense it is. But see, what John was talking about was he gave himself the opportunity to become aware of what was going on. And how easily, for me at least, I can become lost in my story. And my story many times is going to be a fearful one. We will say this for Paul, who is questioning from the sidelines. What were you teaching us? Were you teaching us how to create? What were you saying? I wasn't following well. The guys reply, it's very good when you don't follow. In other words, let go of your friggin' head. The answers are not in your mind. The answers are not in your story. The answers are not in your ego consciousness. We are not teaching you something through your head. Unfortunately or fortunately, we decided to use a book like this as a vehicle for our teaching because we know how dependent you are on the physical world and the written word. So we're making this kind of leap of faith. Because as we said in the first book, we could be teaching you all on a level of vibration without any books at all. But the problem with that is you wouldn't get it. And if we suggested to you, okay, let's take 5 or 10 or 15 minutes a day to sit in this higher vibration so you can heal, so you can do, you wouldn't do it. You'd probably remember to do it for a week. Or a couple of days, And then 3 or 4 days later, I forgot to sit in that vibration again. And it would sort of go by the wayside someplace. So we're using these things to anchor you, but not to make this into an intellectual exercise, because that's not what it is. We're not teaching your intellect. In a sense, we're not even teaching your soul, because your soul already knows. We're reminding you of what your soul already knows. But you got to be open to that one. So, you know, if you just take notes if you want to, highlight pages if you want to. I've got all sorts of highlights going on in all these books. I remember what I did with the first one. I was so enamored of the first one, I Am the Word, that I cut out all of these little pieces, all these little snippets of saying, and I pasted them in a, I had a whole book of paste-ups of my summary of I Am the Word. Now, I never opened it again, because it wound up on my shelf someplace. But I thought it was so damn important that I'd copy all these things down. And what the guides were informing us then and now as well is this is not a trip about your mind. Open your heart to it. It's not about saying, oh, I got it now. Let me move on to the next page. I know one of our classmates is using, continuing to use a book that we've already quote finished with. And that's because it's like an orange, right? These kind of, I still got more juice I can get out of this one. I said, well, go ahead. What most of us in our ego consciousness would do is, oh, well, I already read that. What's the next book?
Jerry.
Yeah.
Does the divine self feel fear?
No. There's not it's even in the recognize ego. Fear. It's not
the
there.
Ego,
it's not
which
there.
Is the ego, which is the body. The body feels the fear, not the spirit.
The body, the personality self, the ego consciousness feels the fear.
Okay.
You know, if you want to look at it this way, fear is a lack of love.
Okay.
So my personality, my ego self-consciousness kind of lives in that state of not enoughness. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My divine self, my higher self, which is, by the way, is paradoxically is still stretching and growing all the time, but does not experience fear. It's just not, it's like, it's not a word in its vocabulary. If you could talk to your divine self and say, well, are you afraid? Say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just not there.
Okay.
It's very good when you don't follow. I like that. You can read the transcript later. That's what I like about what we're doing here is, you know, I know we all have books and we might be reading and underlying and doing this, doing that. But there's another kind of another layer of presence here that kind of goes beyond the spoken word. Because if it didn't, I'd just be jabbering away. I'd just be kind of talking teeth you wind up and put on a table and just sort of clacks away. It's very good when you don't follow. You can read the transcript later. But we will tell you this. What we are teaching is a realignment to systems of creation. And in order to realign to a new system of creation, you must have means to liberate the self from past creations, to invest in them in a new way so that they may be moved, they may be transformed, they may be released. So it's that old Zen proverb again of the master pouring the tea into the cup, and the cup overflowing and the student saying, Master, you can't get any more tea in there. And the master saying, that's like your mind. There's nothing more that can get in there unless you let go of all the crap you're holding on to. That's a very free translation of the story. I don't think the master said holding on to that crap, but that, essentially that I can't get any more in there unless you get rid of the crap you're holding on to. Marion Williamson put it beautifully. This kind of ties in with what Diane was talking about too, is, are the thoughts that I am thinking, what thoughts am I thinking that God is not thinking? What thoughts am I thinking that God is not thinking? I don't know about you, but that puts me right up in my face. I go, oops. What thoughts am I thinking that God is not thinking? In some ways, by looking at something, witnessing it for what it is, and learning how to see it from a new vantage point gives you the permission you require to embark on change. Let's just take fear, for example. Let's suppose I recognize, oh, Diane was talking about feeling fear of pain. I might be afraid of getting sick, becoming helpless, especially as I get older. So I can get all wrapped up in that if I want to, and sort of let the fear feed on itself, which it's going to, and say, well, you're not finished. What about this? What if this happens? What if that happens? Or let's take something really practical, maybe for a lot of us right now. The midterm elections are coming up. We have all sorts of polls going on, and what's going to happen if this happens? All sorts of things. Well, if the Republicans become in charge, here's what's going to happen. If the Democrats get in charge, here's what's going to happen. All kinds of spooky, scary, difficult things are getting stirred up. And so easy, I don't know about you guys, but so easy to start getting into fear. What'll I do if that happens? What'll I do if my Social Security gets taken away? Blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. It's like Mark Twain said, you know, I'm an old man and I've got many problems, but most of them have never happened. But I can buy into that fear so easily. So here's my thing. Yes, I admit I'm afraid. I take a look at what I'm afraid of, or even why I'm afraid. And then I ask myself the question, how can I look at this differently? That's my prayer. How can I see this differently? And I don't try to think my way through that. When my prayer is, how can I do this, or how can I think of this differently, or how can I look at this differently? My prayer is, then I open myself up to let divine consciousness speak to me in a way that my mind cannot. How can I see this differently? I don't know the answer for you. All I know is the answer mm-hmm. for me. And the answer for me might be different 5 minutes from now. How I can see this differently in this moment was, let's suppose I take my fear of what's going to happen in the up and coming elections. One of the ways that my mind just, my divine self just told me to take care of that is, it doesn't have anything to do with the present moment. It's not happening now. Oh, what's happening right now is we are in a place together where we are learning, where we're growing, we're stretching together in a way that we can't really define with our thinking mind. Oh. And for a moment anyway, because my mind's always going to be pretty active, but for a moment anyway, I'm going to be free of that. Let's get back to the present moment. Let's get back to what we're doing right now. Let's get back to how we're doing it right now.
I think I can really identify with that, Jerry. When I couldn't get over being a victim, and it wasn't until God led both of us to the light and showed me how to let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
It just came to that would do it, you know, because I let go of it. And well, that's the only way I can. That's the only way I can imagine.
Your whole perspective had to change before you were ready to let go of it, right?
Right.
So that again, that becomes my prayer quite often. Lord, that I may see. Here's how I'm seeing it right now. How can I see this differently? Mm-hmm. And I can't make that happen with my human nature, but I know that my inner or higher consciousness can create another or a new way of being able to look at that. I know, because obviously we're all sitting here together. If that could never, how could I see this differently? If that prayer had never been answered, none of us would be here right now.
God showed me how it was different.
I will show you. If you let me, if you let me, I will show you.
Okay. Yep. And then there's no fear, no pain. Yeah. Okay.
Jerry?
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Yeah. What I kept hearing as I was, because I had listening to it like I was driving over, and what kept coming to me is willingness. I like how you revisit.
Just need to speak up just a little bit more.
How you go revisit over and over again, willingness, mm-hmm. willingness. And it's not an intellectual pursuit. And I think you also said it's really not a soul pursuit because it's already dormant. It's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my willingness activates that which is already there. And the intellect or recognizing I have no idea how this or that, but just a willingness to be open.
Mm-hmm. The two things that these books keep saying on and on and on, and perhaps in different ways. As Jim pointed out, willingness and openness to the possibility. So the other side of it, you know, the ego or personality self, it's not possible to let go of that fear. Because if you let go of that fear, then what's going to happen? But part of my work here is the willingness and openness to the possibility sort of, here's the image I have. It sort of takes my personality and my ego consciousness up to the edge of the cliff, as far as it can go. My ego and my personality can't go any further than that. But when I open myself up to the possibility and willingness, that opens me up to a higher consciousness or a consciousness that goes beyond my individual self. That goes beyond my individual nature. That goes beyond my personality and my ego consciousness. So I deliberately, push that as far as it will go, and then I surrender, I let go. I said, my divine consciousness has to do the next piece because I can't do that for myself. How is it put in 12-step recovery program? God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And again, that's not God as a separate entity, but my higher consciousness is doing for me what my lower consciousness could not do. How's that? My higher consciousness is doing for me what my lower consciousness cannot do.
It also feels like my lower consciousness is fighting my higher consciousness all the way. It's just like they're like, it's like this.
I understand exactly what you're saying, Jim. And I believe that one of the things we're attempting to do here is to stop making that into a struggle. Struggle comes about, and again, this is just my perception, which is always limited. Struggle, let's say, between my higher and lower self happens because I begin to look at my lower self as being the enemy. Whereas it's not the enemy, it's just a scared three-year-old child. Acts bigger than that, looks bigger than that, pretends it's bigger than that. But essentially, my smaller, my lower consciousness, lower self, my individual personality self is essentially a frightened little child. And if I begin to treat it that way, not in a judgmental sort of way, but if I begin to treat it that way, rather than being the enemy, there's a real shift in consciousness that takes place. Now, for instance, let me give you, here's a model that I came up with a while ago. Let's suppose I have my physical little three-year-old in my arms. and I'm getting ready to cross this really busy intersection. And the three-year-old is scared, doesn't want to go. Now, I could let him run the show, say, okay, we're just going to stay on this side of the street until we rot, all right? But the other side of the picture is, no, we need to get over there. So I'm going to hold you, and I'll keep you safe, and I'll protect you, and it's going to be okay. And I know you're scared. But it's going to be okay, because we are going to cross the street, because that's where the hamburgers are. That's where the milkshakes are, all right? And I know you're scared. I know you're afraid. I know you don't even want to go over there. You don't even care about the hamburgers and the milkshake. I understand that. But that's where we're going. And I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to care about you, and I'm going to nurture you as best I possibly can, right? But we're still going across the street. So all your objections, I'm not fighting your objections. I'm accepting them for the way they are, but I'm not letting them interfere with the truth of what we want to do in any way. You're not the enemy. Nothing can be changed until you agree that it can be as the possibility. And nothing can be claimed by you until you first know it as something that can be so. I can claim the upper room, I can claim my higher consciousness, but I really don't believe that. So it ain't gonna happen, okay? And see, again, this doesn't force us to believe something. It says you don't even have to go that far. All we're asking you to do is open yourself up to the possibility that you can be aligned to a higher truth. Open yourself up to the possibility that you can be free of fear. We have taught you possibility in prior teaching. We have told you that nothing can be claimed unless it is first known as possibility, and that is still so. When you claim things, when you choose things, you must always inquire why you choose what you choose. Why am I choosing fear instead of love? Why am I choosing scarcity? Why am I choosing lack? What you get from it, in many cases, will be what you expect. But if you are looking to the physical realm to solve your problems, from here on, you are going to be challenged in many ways. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll go to get another book. I'll go to another workshop. I'll go to another TED Talk. I'll listen to this. I'll find another, whatever, on and on. Essentially, we begin to discover that I'm looking outside for something that I can only really find inside. I'm looking outside for something I can only really find inside. So let's say with a book like this, I'm letting it teach my insides. It's not like, oh, that's a great idea. I think I'll copy that. I think I'll pin that up on my wall. I think I'll put that on my bathroom mirror. That's nice. But that's probably not going to change anything. If I allow it to embrace me as being the truth, far beyond what my mind might be create, that's where the energy is. How can I let the energy of divine love affect me in this moment? Heal me. See me, feel me, touch me, heal me. Remember that one line from Tommy? See me, feel me, touch me, heal me.
God, what a prayer that is.
See me, feel me, touch me, heal me.
Sure, that really sounds to me that I'm looking for external confirmation, whether it be a book, whether it be a TED Talk, whatever the case may be, of that which I really don't believe. I want to say I believe it, but why do I keep searching for this or that to confirm something of that which I say I believe? If I read that book, if I go to that lecture, okay, that's going to be the it.
You know what Alan Watts said? He said, when you get the message, hang up the phone, okay? You don't keep dialing the same number. What? Well, let me hear that again, okay? You get the message, hang up the phone. I love that.
I hear you saying, Jerry, that it's the three-year-old inside of us that's scared, and it's like, and she feels all the fear and the pain, and it's like learning to reparent her. And, yeah. And you do that with the divine self, yeah, by showing her love and no fear and saying, we'll get through this, you know. So I think that it's the divine self that's teaching our inner child. We're telling our inner child, I'm the parent.
Yeah, I'm the parent.
Mm-hmm. And I never was that. I always listened to my ego. Mm-hmm.
And doing that lovingly. Doing that, yes, lovingly.
It's a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Or four.
Actually, what happens is when we first begin to recognize it, it's about 3 years old. Right now, probably in our work together, it's a rebellious teenager, okay, who doesn't seem to respond to anything, okay? But let me tell you something. You already know this about even rebellious teenagers. Even though they don't look like they hear everything.
Well, they hear everything.
And they know deep down in their being, in every cell and fiber of their being, whether or not they're being loved or whether or not they're being judged. My job is to love, not to judge. But it's also a way of sticking. If we need to go across the street, we need to go across the street.
I'll hold your hand.
We need to close because I got a duty upstairs. So let's take a minute. Thank y'all for being here, first of all. It's always a trip. Close your eyes, take a breath. The love that you are. The love that you are becoming. The love that is flowing to you. The love that is flowing through you. And imagine what it would be like if there is nothing else, just that. Deep breath. Stretch a bit when you're ready. You open your eyes. I really like that little meditation. What I'll do is I'll create a longer one that I'll send you. Okay. I just like the feel of that. So have a wonderful week, y'all. Thanks for being here. Namaste. We'll see you again soon. Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jerry.
Was that John?
Are we going to just be online next week?
Yeah, no reason why we won't.
I mean, we won't be here.
You said we'd be here. We'll be here.